This is a presentation of LifePoint Church. Our mission is to make gospel-centered disciples of Jesus Christ. For more information, please visit sharethelife.org.
It's good to see those of you who are here on this snowy day. And I thought, since it's a snowy day, that I would start with an illustration about golf. You know, I mean, here in Colorado, we expect the weather to change at any moment. And some of you are even thinking about golf, even in spite of the snow. And this story will help us unpack a truth in the text that we are studying, John chapter 15. And it comes from Thomas Stirner in his book, The Practicing Mind. He tells about himself. He was deciding that he needed to learn how to play golf. He was involved in a profession. He was a piano tuner. And he just needed some exercise, and he needed to connect with other people. And so he decided, I need to learn how to play golf. But he was not very good at sports, so he decided, I'm going to sign up for a golf course. 6 weeks. They met. The instructor spent an hour giving them some instructions, and then they had an hour free time to practice what he had taught them and gave him some pointers so that they could practice during the week. And he was very intentional about this. I mean, he actually took some notes. After the lesson, he'd write down things that he remembered. He stayed for the hour afterwards, and he put in the time, and he actually even got a golf club and sawed it off so he could swing in his basement, and he wouldn't hit the ceiling and the lights in the basement, you know? He was just very into it, and he was studying it. But he noticed when he comes to class and the instructor would say, well, how many of you practiced this week? Almost all of them said, no, I didn't have time. One lady, she was in the corporate world, and she said, I just had so much going on, I didn't have time to practice this week. I guess I just hoped that some morning I could wake up and I could play really well. And you know, he noticed that some of these, all they did was, they were just so focused on trying to get it done and to really work at it, and they would tell each other, well, you just need to try harder. You just, you know, put in the time. I know it's not any fun, but you got to just work at it. And if you're going to be a good golfer, you just do it. The thing he noticed, the principle that we need to pull out of this is, there are those who focus on the goal, the end product, a good golf swing that can win a lower score. And those who take time to focus on the process and on the technique and getting that right, and as they focus on that, the winning scores will come later. And he says, you know, that applies to just about everything in life. If you're learning how to cook, the same thing. If you're learning how to be a carpenter, the same thing. If you're learning how to play any kind of sports, it's the same thing. In fact, did you know that here at LifePoint, we have some cornhole championship teams? They are preparing for the new sport in the Olympics, cornhole. And we can listen into them just now. Take a look.
Good morning, LifePoint viewers, and welcome to this week's episode of LPC, Wide World of Sports. I'm the late Dick Enberg, your host for this morning's show. We're broadcasting to you hot footage and highlights from this past week at the Olympic Training Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado, looking at athletes and their coaches prepare for the inaugural version of Olympic Cornhole. With the rare footage we have to show you today, you'll see the tenacity, the resolve, the commitment, the dedication that they have to do what it takes to win gold. Let's have a look.
Wow, what a great opportunity. This is your opportunity to become an Olympian.
Yes. Now that cornhole is an Olympic sport, I can finally achieve your dream of becoming a gold medalist. Do you,
you
want to
be
a
champion?
Yes!
Let's do this.
All right, pick up that bag.
Okay.
You're going to throw it into that hole.
Okay. All right, I call this one the Kobe. Ready? Kobe! Oops.
What was that?
I'm sorry, I've never played cornhole before.
Do you want to be a champion?
Yes!
Okay.
Okay.
Take that bag. Throw it into that cornhole.
Okay. Man, this is hopeless.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
Maybe it's the bags.
Don't give up.
Okay.
Because you're going to be a champion,
I'm going to be a champion.
We are going to be Olympians.
Champion.
Okay. Throw it into the bag hole over there.
Okay. You know what? I'm never going to get this. This is hopeless.
You are pathetic. That's all right. You're not giving up. We are going to be champions. Okay. Try it again.
Okay.
Throw it into that hole.
Okay.
All right. The most important thing you have to remember is to breathe in and relax. Breathe in and relax.
And yes. Relax?
Yes. Give it a try.
Okay.
All right. You know, we're not going to concentrate on the results. Right at this point, we're going to try the techniques. That's what you have to learn, the techniques.
Okay.
The first technique, when you go to throw the bag, flip the wrist. Flip the wrist.
Like this?
You got it. Go ahead and give it a try.
Okay. Flip the wrist.
Okay. You're doing better. Remember when we were up in the men's retreat, we saw Al Larson and Walter?
Men's retreat?
Oh, yeah. Never mind. You weren't at the men's retreat. Here's your other tip.
Okay.
When you're going to throw the bag, make sure you tip on your toes or lean on your toes. So lean on your toes and flip the wrist. Lean on your toes and flip the wrist. Give it a shot.
Okay. Toes, wrist. Toes, wrist.
Good job.
It's not even getting close to the hole.
You know, the importance is not to make the hole. What you're trying to concentrate is on technique. And you're also missing one important thing.
What's that?
You gotta smile. Have fun. It's not about putting the bag in the hole.
That's
it's about having fun and
gonna
enjoy.
Gonna win a gold medal?
No, enjoy the sport. Enjoy the sport.
Smile.
Yes.
And have fun.
You have thrown the bag 25 times. You came close. Once. I can't take it anymore.
I give up. I thought this would be easier. This isn't any fun, Coach.
Fun? Who said anything about fun? It's hard work to be a champion. You're not here to have fun. You're not giving up. You're gonna make that bag into that hole over there, and we're gonna be champions.
Yes.
So, same time here tomorrow. Got it?
Got it.
Well, did you notice some things about the product? And the process, those who focused on the product, we've got to win, we've got to get it in the hole, and those who temporarily forgot about the goal and worked on the techniques and on the process, they were the ones who eventually improved their game and became the winners. Instead of worrying about winning and regretting about how often they missed the mark, they focused on the techniques of tossing the bag. How they could stand beside the board. How could they throw underhand or overhand. These are just the basic techniques of a good cornhole player. And I ask you to pray for our cornhole team as they go to the Olympics. Remember these. Product and process. Product and process. Now let's turn to our text today, John chapter 15. And I want you to, as we read this text, think about what is the process and what is the product. And I think it will begin to unfold something, a truth in this text that maybe you haven't seen before. John chapter 15, and we'll begin reading at verse 4. And notice the product is producing fruit, and the process is abiding in Christ and He in us. Would you stand as we read together? Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. Thank you. You may be seated. Did you notice the product and the process? Now, the product is bearing fruit. And last week, Wes, in his message, told us just what that fruit is. The fruit that he's talking about here is any act or deed that promotes and advances the kingdom of God. So there are two aspects of this product. There is the fruit of character, which is the fruit of the Spirit. As He works in our lives, He produces this fruit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, goodness, and self-control. But there is also the fruit of good deeds. As our character is transformed by the fruit of the Spirit and the image of Christ is formed in us, we begin to produce and act in accordance with that character. Colossians 1:10 talks about the fruit of good works in our lives. These are the acts that please the Father. They are the acts of righteousness and the acts of compassion and justice and kindness to others. So a productive branch is a person whose life is transformed by the work of the Holy Spirit, bearing fruit in our lives so that through us He can bear fruit in the lives of those around us. That's the product. That's the goal that the master gardener is working on to in his vineyard, in us, in the church. So what is our role in this process? We are told to abide in Christ. We are to focus not on the product, but on the process of abiding in Christ. Now, it's true, God wants us to bear fruit, and that is the goal. But He will do that through us only as we abide in Him. It's sort of a paradox, isn't it? Abide in me, but He's very clear and very blunt, without me you can do nothing. You can't bear the fruit. It's not up to you. You are to abide in me. You can do nothing. You know, in Scripture, there are a lot of paradoxes. In Proverbs, for example, we're told that we are to search for wisdom as a precious treasure. But on the other hand, wisdom is a gift from God. Paul tells us in Philippians that we are to work out our own salvation. But the paradox is, it is God who works in us both to will and to do his good pleasure. Even Jesus told us a paradox. He said, he that would save his life must lose it. And he that loses his life will save it. And so the paradox here is, we are to produce fruit, but we are not to do it. We are to abide in Christ. So the lesson from this text, as we are developing it, and today we want to see the relationship between the product producing fruit and the process of abiding in Christ. And we must be very careful to state this correctly. And here's what I think it's saying. As we abide in Christ, he will produce fruit in and through our lives. Notice, we are not saying, I'm going to abide in Christ in order that I can bear fruit. He does not say, well, if we abide in Christ, then he will have the opportunity to produce fruit. It's as I am doing this, he will work and produce the fruit in me. How can we learn to do that? How do we focus then on this process, the techniques of abiding in Christ? Instead of trying to get the bag in the hole, I need to focus on abiding in him. The techniques of abiding are what we call the spiritual disciplines. Another term is the exercises of the soul. So just as they had to learn how to flip the wrist and go up on their toes and stand in a certain way, abiding in Christ, the exercises of the soul that we need to practice are the spiritual disciplines. And some of them are things like prayer and solitude and worship and silence and frugality and simplicity, practicing sacrifice and service and fasting and submission in obedience and Bible reading and meditation on the Word. Those are a couple that we're really focusing on right now in our church. In this text, out of all of those, there are at least four that are mentioned in this text, the techniques of abiding. They are prayer, ask what you will, and I will give it to you. And especially Bible reading and meditation on the Word. Let his Word rest in you, abide in you, and also to submit and to obey. Those who obey my word and keep my commandments, they are the ones who abide in my love. So these texts, this text emphasizes especially prayer, Bible reading and meditation, and obedience to the word. Right now in our church, we are really focusing on this technique, this exercise of the soul, if you will, of Bible reading and meditating on his word. And this is an important focus that we should have in our life. If we are going to bear fruit, we need to focus on this, at least this one technique, and really emphasize that in our life, in the way we read and meditate on the Word. And then we let God produce the fruit in our lives. So it really comes down to this. So how are we to really tackle these techniques, these exercises of the soul? Like this team over here, focus on the technique. What is it and how is it that I need to focus on the technique, the exercise of reading and meditating? Out of this text, there's some advice for us. The first one is this: we need to be very intentional and deliberate in practicing this exercise. Thomas Stirner said, "I had to carve out time in order to practice the lessons that I was learning. I had to give up a little bit of television so that I could have an hour a day to practice swinging down there in the basement." He was very deliberate and very intentional about it. It means that, because you see, this text says, it's a command, abide in me. This is not a suggestion. This is not something saying, well, it would be nice if you would do that. It would really make my job easier. The vine dresser doesn't say that. No, he's saying, you need to abide, be intentional, be deliberate. This is a command that you need to follow. This is not something that you will do haphazardly, just whenever. We need to be deliberate and actually engaged in the process. Thomas Stirner says how he would grab the golf club and he would concentrate on how he gripped the club and how he would swing through, and he actually took the time to think about it and to focus on it, and he was very thoughtful about it. And that's how we ought to go about Bible reading and meditating on His Word. You've got the program, you've got the list, and you're following and maybe checking it off and everything. But I'm telling you, you can't just drift through this. It can't be just, oh, well, I hope I can get to it. It has to be intentional and deliberate so that you are engaged in it. It means that when you come to that moment and you're reading the Word and you're or listening to it on some app or something, and you're focused on that. You're meditating on what the words say and what the phrases mean. And you begin to say, put yourself into the picture of that text, and what would that mean if I were practicing that? What would it mean if that was really true in my life? What if it meant that this text is actually describing me, not just some other story of Samson or somebody else in the Old Testament, a way off that I have no idea what it's talking about? No, it means to be fully engaged in that moment. It reminds me of somebody playing on the Xbox. Have you ever watched people playing the games? They are focused. They don't get distracted. Not by, well, maybe pizza, but not much else. And the nothing that mom says, nothing that dad says, nothing that anything, the noise, and they're focused. That's what he means. Abide in me. Do this with your full attention so that you're grasping the meaning of the text, the grandeur of the phrase, so that it begins to sink into your life. And those phrases become part of you. It means to eat the Word, to chew on it, to think about it, to take notes on it, to be intentional and deliberate in the reading and meditating of the Word. So I'm just challenging us today. When it says, focus on the process, and the process that he's talking about right here is reading and meditating on the Word, and you need to do that with all intention and deliberation. So that finally means, secondly, it means that you avoid the attitude of complacency. I know I can hear some of you thinking right now, well, whatever. And it's another program of the church. They've got another thing that now we've got to get involved in. But I can guarantee you 3 months from now, they'll have forgotten all about it. So, and really, I can do that and I can check it off 25 days out of the month. And at the end of the time, does it really make any difference in my life? And some of you right now are just passing it off as just another thing that they have to talk about up here in front. Complacency is a form of laziness, intellectual laziness. It's allowing yourself to just drift in your Christian life. And when he says, abide in me and I in you, he is talking, and that tense in the Greek says, this should be the very habit of your life. It's not something you drift into and out of. It becomes the lifestyle that you practice. And those who drift into complacency and pass it off as just another gimmick risk great danger in their lives. The text says, those who do not bear fruit, he will cut off and throw into the fire. And your place of service in the church will be finished. Complacency is a great danger to be avoided. But there's an opposite danger, and that's the danger of perfectionism. Now, I can hear some of the others of you. I mean, you are the dedicated, faithful members of this church, and you're saying, yes, I'm going to grab hold of this. This is something I can do. Yes, I am going to be one of those fruitful people in this church. I'm going to get involved. I'm going to do all that I can because my goal is to be the very best for Christ. I want to serve him in any way he chooses, and I want to do all I can for him. And you're just, oh, gung-ho, and you're really, and what's wrong with that? Of course we want to serve him. Of course we want to bear fruit. Of course we want to be fruitful in our lives. But when we make that the goal and make that the standard so that my worth and meaning in the branch and in the vine depends on how much fruit I bear, I've missed the point. Yes, we do want to bear fruit, but those who focus on just bearing the fruit and forget about the time of abiding in Christ will never be the fruitful ones that he wants us to be. Maybe it's the story of Mary and Martha. You remember them? I really think Martha gets a bad rap in that story because we usually think of her as the one who is just worried and frustrated because she has to do all the work. But if she doesn't do it, who is going to do it? I mean, somebody's got to do the work and prepare the meals and peel the potatoes and chop up the onions and, you know, do all the stuff and set the table. And if she doesn't do it, who is going to do it? But Jesus reminds her when she complains, Mary's just, she's just sitting there, soaking it in, abiding in you. And Jesus said, and that's the most important part. You need to sit and abide and soak it in. Then you're ready to serve. You see, in this lesson of abiding, it's not how many good things we do for Christ that's the important thing. It's how close I stay to Him in my heart. The command is not go and bear fruit. The command is abide in me. It's on the process, not on the product. And so abiding in Him is a process that we need to learn. It's not a championship in spite of the cornhole game. Abiding in Him is a process of relating to Christ. It is not a comparison with others. So let's see if we can draw this together. By exercising this thing of reading the Word and meditating on His Word, we are soaking in the Word of God. Let it, our minds be saturated with the Word. Don't you love that picture? When I found that, I said, yes, that's what I'm trying to say. Let your mind be saturated and soaked with the Word of God. And it's out of that Scripture-saturated mind that we begin to produce, God begins to produce fruit in us. As I saturate my mind with Scripture, I learn to abide in Christ, and His Word abides in me. As we abide in Christ, He will produce the fruit in us and through us for the benefit of His kingdom. So today, let's focus on the process of abiding. Next week, we will carry on and we'll talk about exactly more about what that means to focus on the Word and let it abide in our lives. But as you abide in Christ, He will produce the fruit in and through your lives. Will you join me? Maybe you need to pick up some beanbags on the way out. And just practice how you're going to throw them. By that I mean, get the Bible reading program and be intentional and focus on it and study it, meditate on it, chew on it, and let it sink into your life. I think we could be an Olympic champion church if we learn the technique of abiding in Christ. Will you pray with me? Father, so many times we get sidetracked into some very important things like bearing fruit. But that is not what You want us to focus on. That is the work of the Master Gardener. Oh, thank You, Father, that You work in us both to will and to do Your good pleasure. And so now, Lord, we pray that You will help us to soak in Your Word through prayer, through obedience, through meditation, through all of these exercises of the soul that will transform us, saturate our minds, and conform us to the image of Christ. Lord, abide in us as we abide in You. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been a presentation of LifePoint Church. It is our greatest desire that every person would trust Jesus Christ as the leader of their lives and the forgiver of their sins. If you would like to make this decision today or find out more, please visit sharethelife.org.